In Perek Beis of Parsha Shmos, there's a striking parsha that always I found to be perplexing. Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Vayelech ish mi Beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi. Right away, we notice that the Torah, for whatever reason, decides not to identify the personalities. How does it identify them? Ish mi Beis Levi. Vayikach es bas Levi, and he marries a daughter of Levi. As you can see, this is a shidduch made in heaven. Levi, bas Levi with Beis Levi. Vatar ha'isha vatelet bein. This bas Levi now is described as an isha. She gives birth to a child. Vatera also kitovu. She sees the child is tov. Vatitzmenei shalsha yirachim. Of course, this is in light of the gzeira paro. I think I mentioned the other day that the Egyptians so much hated Klal Yisrael, and the sin that the Goyim had for Klal Yisrael is so great that the Gzera, Rashi points this out, was even on whom? On Egyptian children. Because since they would not know, Rashi quotes it in the Chumash, exactly. I'll read the Loshen of Rashi and Chav Beis, the previous perek. Vayitzav Pavel Chol Amolim Or Kol Abein Adilo Hayor Tashichu, says Rashi, Apaleim Gozar. Why? Yom Shem Nolad Moshe Amolim Itztag Dinov. His necromancer said, Hayom Nolad Moshiach. Today the Moshiach was born. Ein on Yodim, Imi Mitzrayim, Imi Yisrael. Maybe the Moshiach is an Egyptian who says he's a Jew. V'ro Nono Shesofu Lilkos Pamay. We know that eventually he will be punished with water. So he decided the Gzera relates to all male Jewish children and all male non-Jewish children. Doesn't say kol habein hayolud shehu ivri or shehu yehudi. No, kol habein hayilo. All male children are going to be taken care of, eliminated. Wow. Ad kidei kach, he has to get rid of that Moshe Rabbeinu. Unbelievable. Okay, that's just derech agav. But Tizmaneu Shol Sheyirochim back in Pasuk Beis. She hides him for 3 months. V'lo yachlo gatzpino. She can no longer hide him. V'tikachlo tevas gomeh. V'tachma v'chema v'zofis. You have a kind of reed teva that is sealed with pitch and tar. V'tosin bo sayeled. V'tosin basuf asfas hayor. And Moshe Rabbeinu is now, as it were, floating asfas hayor. Torah continues. No identification. His sister is somehow from a distance. Ladea Mayasilo. She's very concerned about her little brother. Continuing. Bateret Basparo. Doesn't tell us whom she is. Nochamol. Unidentified. Unidentified flying object. Is that what you call it? UFO? Bateret Basparo Lichotalayor. Vinarose Holchot Aliarayor. And her maidens, those that accompany her. Very well known Gemara Tzaita. Rashi actually alludes to it. Quotes a Chazal, her hand extended. Many Amos. Abchaim Shulev Zatzal has a beautiful shmuz on this pasuk. Kedai to see it. She opens up the teva. What does she see? A child. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu, as you undoubtedly saw the Pasuk first described in Pasuk Beis as Ben, and then a little bit later the Torah calls him Yelen in Pasuk Gimel, and now Nah. So obviously we're talking about someone who clearly has made progress in terms of his growth. Clearly he must be a Jewish child. Shall I get a nursing mother who will nurse the child? Again, we don't know whom that is. V'teni glachas hayolad, v'tomolo bas paro lechid, yes. V'tei lecha alma, she's called alma. There are many different terminologies used to describe him, her, and the different people involved. That's a separate shiur that requires discussion. That's not what I'm interested in right now. V'tikos em hayolad, again, we don't identify whom the mother is. Namely, we're talking about, of course, Yocheved. Torah doesn't identify her. I'll pay you. She's raising him, and now suddenly, Baruch Hashem, Moshe, she gives him the name, I'm just mentioning this Derech Agav, but what I'm interested in is something else. Back to the first pasuk. What do Chazal say? That this was a Lekuchim Shniim. This was a second marriage. Who's getting married, as you know? Amram and Yocheved. But they already were married. So Rashi comments, Rashi asks this question. Look at Rashi Pasuk Aleph. Porushoya mimena negzeras paro. That the reason they decided to separate, because of the gzera of paro, and this, by the way, happens to be a Gemara, Maseches Tainis, famous Gemara, that the Gemara says during different situations there may even be a situation where Tashri Shamita is not permissible. Where do we see such an idea in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis? In the context of the Mabul. In the context of the Mabul, Rashi there also refers to the same idea. And that Ad Kedei Kach, where there are many Tshuvas actually written by Gedolei HaPoskim during the Shoah, during the Holocaust, so also that issue came to the fore, that maybe we should not have children. What's the point of having children? They're going to be, Rachman Lutzlan, thrown to the gas chambers. They're going to be killed. They don't have any possible potential for longevity. And therefore, what's the tachlis? What's the point? So now, Miriam came with a taina to her father. Her father and mother separated from each other because of the situation, because of the gzera. So Rashi quotes, who came along? Miriam. And Miriam convinced them that their actions are incorrect. Why? Rashi quotes Shtigl Teila, that she said. Miriam gave her father Shtigl Teila. By the way, who was Amram? The Gadol HaDor.
Never sinned.
What was that?
Never sinned.
Yes, that's a Gemara. Anyway, so we're talking about the Gadol HaDor. The Gadol HaDor came to the Maskana, had to separate from my wife. She, Miriam, decided that was inappropriate, and says the Gemara, and Rashi quotes it. Rashi quotes, Omrelo, what did she say to her father? Gzeirascha kosher mishal paro. Your gzeir is worse than that of paro. Paro goes al al-Zchari. Paro only issues a decree against whom? Against male children. V'yato gam kinal on the kevis. And you, by virtue of this separation, even female children will not be born. No one's going to be born. So what happened? He accepted her argument. And there was a second marriage that took place. How old was Yocheved? 130 years old. There's a lot of discussion about this, but let's take Rashi, Kipshuto, Lashon the Medrash, and somehow they were able to once again put together this marriage, and there's one of the most famous Rambans in Chumash, one of the most beautiful Rambans right here on the spot. The Ramban says, he quotes the Gemara in Saita, that it was Lekuchim Shneim, the second marriage. And then the Ramban says, V'asa b'maisa Lekuchim, he married her. V'hoishiva b'apiryom, she was placed in a royal kind of chair. U'miryam v'aram b'raktim l'fneyan. Who was doing the dancing? Miriam and Aram were dancing in front of their parents. B'simchasam, they were in a state of unbelievable joy. They were enraptured. K'ayidezeh, as a result of this move that's about to take place in Lekuchim Shneim, what's going to happen? Klal Yisrael will be nigal. So Miriam and Aaron, shall we say, were nothing short of being the Nevi'im. That we know they were the Nevi'im. Dvarim Pshutim. How do we know Miriam was a Navi? Shteit in Posuk. Batikach Miriam ha-Nevi'ah achais Aaron asatei b'yodah. Parshim b'shalach. How do you know Aaron was a Navi? Shteit in Posuk. V'Aaron achicho yeh Nevi'echo. So they were the Nevi'im. And they saw in this marriage, Lekuchim Shneim, the potential for the Goyal Yisrael to be born, the Alva Bishoya Aaron Cotton, even though Aaron was a little child, Nosan Hashem Simcha Balibo, Ibanisham implanted Simcha in his heart, oh, Miriam Achaisem Alamdoso, or his sister Miriam taught him how to be Misabeach, how to be Misimcha, at the possibility of such an event happening. Wow, what a Ramban. I could discuss this Ramban separately, but I can't, because it's not my mandate right this moment. Anyway, so now we have to ask the following question. The Gadol HaDor has a position, which he obviously thought through, And Chazal indicate that he was the Gadol HaDor. That's, you find a number of statements in Chazal. Ad Kidei Kach, if you remember in the Sneh, which is in this week's Parsha as well, when HaKadosh Baruch appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, so in Perek Gimel, so how does he appear to Moshe Rabbeinu? Pasuk Vav, Vayomer, if he tells him, Shalom Alechem Alechem, Onoichi Elokei Avicha. Doesn't just say Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That would be the obvious, the obvious HaKadosh. But he says, Onoichi Elokei Avicha. So we're talking about, who's Elokei Avicha?
Amram.
Clearly Amram is someone of great stature, that the Baruch Hashem identifies him as Elokei Avicha. Of course, Elokei Avicha could also refer to him, Avram Avinu. Ramban, I believe, on the spot, comments on this. But Chazal in the Shmei Sraba indicate it's Elokei Amram Avicha. So Achlagis HaRishayim, Achlagis HaPoskim, Achlagis HaMeforshim, what it refers to, but what is of interest is that clearly Amram is someone of incredible stature. And it would seem that his taina is a logical taina. Why would that go and be mekayim the mitzvah puavu in such a horrendous situation? We're called Aben Ha'ilov, Ayer Taslichu, and the Gemara in Tainus, I think it's about Afyud Aleph, the Gemara indicates that very clearly, that B'shah Sakona, there's no din of puavu. The Pasuk, the Navi says in David HaMelech and Tehillim, Parashat HaMazayin, he points out, people say Al Naros Bavel, I think some people do, during the week. Yes, I've been having Sol Shlita. How come I don't see anyone saying it? He said, Mistama, Lo Achlim Lechem. I said, but Im Achlim Lechem, Ah Sofek. The Mishnah Berurah, Siman Aleph. So they got that far. Wow. So it says there that it could be sometimes a situation of Eis Tzara, V'nipeitz Olo Layich El Hasola. They'll dash your children on the rocks. That's what we're talking about over here. So why should I bring little children into the world when they are Rachman Litzan? They don't have any chance of survival. Yeah.
Isn't it the same thing as, like, I don't know who the Navi was, who, like, his kids were going to be Yerushalayim, and so...
I'm coming to that. That's like Gemara and Brachas. Guess where that Gemara is? On the Yud. Yud Amid Beis. Hayim Tigadaf. But I'm not into Daf Yemi. Anyway, so the Gemara says also, I'll just, Derech Agav, mention, it's interesting, a young woman asked me this question the other day, why are women not obligated to prove who? They're the ones who have children. So I told her there are three reasons. Reason number one, the Gemara says in Yevamos, Dakar Shalish Lich Bosh, and Dakar Shalish Lich Bosh. That's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah. The Shammah Besilah, and the Gemara discusses that the man's the one who does the Kibush and not the woman. Reason number two is given by the Meshach Chochma, the Perish Al HaTerah, Chidush Gonel. There's a suffix sakana involved in giving birth. The Torah will not ask a woman to put herself in the matzah of sakana. That's the Gemara in Sukkah. You'll ask the people there who are learning Sukkah, and now they're familiar with it. I told David Evansol Shlita that my father was Shalom had a third reason. My father thought the reason he told me, Svara lo ra b'chlal. That's a compliment. What did my father say? There's no need to command a woman to have children. Her entire nature, her entire persona cries out for children. What did she say in Chumash, you remember? Rivka. If I can't have children, in Cain, Lama zeh aneichi! What one shot is, what's the point of my existence? Chazal say, Eini shel lebonim. Chazal say a lot of things. But one of the statements they make about Isha, Eini shel lebonim. A woman has the unbelievable potential to bring children into the world, which is the greatest bracha that one could possibly have, having children. And therefore my father said, there's no need to tell them about approval. It's embedded. It's a natural. Rabbi Levinson thought it was Givaldi. Outstanding swara. No one says that. I couldn't find anyone who says it outright, but I thought, okay. So now, Amram thought, in such a tkufa, there's no point. What's the point of having children? And as I told you, in the Shoah, also, this was an issue that was raised by many, many poskim. Kanereh Miriam, whom my Rebbe called the eternal optimist, does not agree with this. She says no. She somehow convinces her father, as I mentioned, and as a result, Nismali kol habayis kulo ira, the Gemara Tzeita, Rashi quotes it. The whole house is full of light. Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So you just heard from the Rabbi Yosef here, the Gemara and Brachas. That's exactly what I was thinking of as well. That we have in the Gemara and Brachas a very fascinating discussion between Chizkiyo, HaMelech, and the Nabi Yishayo. Chizkiyo was sick. Yishayo comes to him and tells him that you're not going to live. I think it's in paragraph Chesed Yishayo. Kol Hashem Tzav LeBeischa Ki Mei Satov Lo Tichya. You're not going to live. So Yishayo explains to Chizkiyo the reason why he's getting this punishment is because he was not Isaac in the Ritz approval, didn't have children. So Chizkiyo, by the way, says, you know why I didn't have children? Because I saw Beruach Kodshi, I'm going to have eventually Menashe. Menashe was a Rasha Merusha. Probably the worst Rasha in the entire Tanakh of all the Malachim. The worst. Even though the Rabbi Yehuda quotes in Shari Tshuva, Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that towards the end of his life, he did Tshuva, Hashem, there was a Machteret Haskis Yaakov, a subterranean tunnel. That's how he was able to do Tshuva. Through some subterranean means. Actually, it's Meduk in Pesukim and Dibra Yomim, if you love Dibra Yomim, undoubtedly. So there you'll see, Pesukim also seem to indicate that. Anyway, so the Chizkiyo HaMelech defends himself. So, and we know what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah, passing the Halacha, he writes in very clearly in Archaim, I think in Siman Mem Zayin, when a person says, Leman lo nigal orik, lo nigal abeholo, when you have children, you want to have children who will be shemit to mitzvah, who will keep the Maseira, who will be part of your Netzach, Mitzvah Hashem, that's what you'll be Mamshich, with that Netzach, all of you, Ez Hashem is Barach. So he saw the matzah was what? Menashe? Azav Osher? That's Mamish Zaman Nigal Arik. That's Neled Abeholah. I don't want that. So Mela, he decided not to be Esi Purubu. So what does the Navi tell him, Yishayom? Bahadi Kavshin Rachman Olam Aloch. That's not your business. Your business is to do what? To have children. And whatever the Belisham decides, he'll decide. We'll decide. You have to do what you have to do. We have obligations that are mutal upon us, that devolve upon us. We can't go ahead and start because I see in the future I'm going to have a king who's a Rasha, I'm a Mela, I shouldn't have children. So right away, Chizkiyo HaMelech became very, very mitzdayer over his thinking, over his machshava, and right away he said, okay, let me marry your daughter. He marries the daughter of Yishayo HaNavi, and not the next generation, but after, they have Menashe Melech Rasha. However, what he did not see and did not know that who was the son of Menashe, Yoshua Melech, Tzadik Sheim Kamo, Tzadik Yisrael Olam, that Yirmiyahu says about him, Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem, Nilka B'Shri Yisrael, Asher Amarnu Metzilu, Nichiv HaGoyim, Perek Dalo, that Eicha, that he was the Tzadik Sheim Kamo, so that he did not see. In other words, the Navi says that there was no king such as Yoshua Melech, you know, he was killed early, we bet him the Kinos and Eicha. And but after Yoshio, there was born Tzidkiyo HaMelech. Also, the Baal HaTesis say he was a Tzadik Gomor. The HaTesis over there, the Vayikotin, a Tzadik Gomor. So this he did not see. He knows he had vision, but only up to a certain point. He didn't see that beyond that he would have great, great tzaddiki. Ad kidei kach, the Gemara says, "Bikesh Hakadosh Baruch Hu lahachzir Yisrael mitzrayim bavo b'shul dorish Tzidkiyo." Hashem wanted to. He was so angry. What's going on over there? He wanted to turn the whole world upside down. But then it says he looked at Tzidkiyo, Minizkara Daito. There's someone in my family that when he got married, so we went to Abchaim Shulev Zatzal, and Abochim Kasav Zatzal. So he said, he told my parents that that person, he said, in the Mir Yeshiva we have a Musa Seder, we don't need a Musa Seder. You can give it a Kukafim, this is good. We take a look at him, and that's enough. That's what they said.
Abchaim Shulev?
Abchaim Shulev Zatzal Gezok Ani. Shamati is there, b'mo ozni. So now I'm going to go back to this. I have to try to be makatzem. The same yisod we see in this parsha. In the vikuach, we see Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu a bit later. Moshe Rabbeinu claims that Klal Yisrael is not worthy of the gula, not worthy of being redeemed. Why? Because we have all kinds of deficiencies. I won't go into all the details. Chazal, Rashi, and Chazal refer to all the deficiencies. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He runs to Midian. He escapes. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? Ro ra'isi yasoni ame Hashem b'mitzrayim. You see ri'ah achas, your vision is limited. Your vision is finite. Ani ro'eh, I Hashem says, see many, many ri'os. I have a panoramic vision. I see things that you don't see. And you probably may be familiar, there's an essay that was written by Thomas Malthus. Thomas Malthus was a philosopher in the 1898. He wrote an essay. It's called The Malthusian Theory of Population. And he argued very strongly that the world's population is growing, and growing so quickly that we will not be able to supply this population with food. So you may be aware that today, there are massive countries that have not millions of people, probably billions, that essentially have indicated to their citizenry don't have more than 1.5 children. Why do I say 1.5? Because that, I think, is the average number that people have in the United States and England. They may have 2 dogs and 3 cats, but no more than 1.5 children, chas v'shalom. So in China and India, where there's a massive population, anyway, this is what this guy Malthus believed, and therefore he said, let's not engage in pruvu, bichlal. We, however, klal yisrael, we are ma'minim v'akadosh baruch hu v'zon mikarni re'imim ad beit zikinim. That's lashon b'gemara. Hashem sustains every single being, and the Rebbeinu Shem has the ability and to go ahead and sustain the entire world and millions of people. And there's some scientists who may create a pill, and with that pill we'll be able to sustain ourselves and sustain the entire globus, and on and on and on. We believe man diyov chayi yov mezeni, the one who gives life, he's the one who gives mezenas. That's actually the lashon of the Gemara as well there on Daf Ches. Anyway, so his wife, she provided him with the panasa. He was a rav, and she made the panasa. So he used to say, "Man yoyev chayi." Her name was Chayi. "Man yoyev chayi, yoyev mezayni." The one who gave me this wife, so he's the one who gave you mezaynis. Anyway, even the brachas that were given by Yaakov, unless we parsha by Yechi. So Yaakov had one understanding who should get which bracha, and Yosef had a different understanding. And what does Yaakov say to Yosef? Yosef was convinced that he's right. Who's the Bechor? Menashe. I spoke about him on Sefer Shabbos. Who's the Bechor? Menashe. And Ephraim is the younger one. So, Loichei Novi, Simeon Min Chal Roshei. The right hand should be on him. And what does Yaakov say? Similar to this Lashon of the Pasuk here, Ro Roisi, which is found right here. Look at Perek Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. Take a look at this Pasuk, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. Ro Roisi, when I just quoted to you. So too, what does Yaakov say over there? Yadati Bini Yadati. Here also, Roy Roisi, double Lashon, Yadati b'ni Yadati. I know, and you know, but I know something that you don't know. I have an additional Yadiyah, and that's exactly all these examples. I'm trying to come to one Maskana, and I'm just another 3 or 4 minutes, and that is that sometimes we are convinced beyond convincing that we are right. Often, I think that way. I come to a certain position, I am sure I'm right. I have swallows this way and that way. And I'm a pretty straight thinker, pretty glad in my thinking. So I know, obviously, I must be right. At the end of the day, I'm a ben adam. I'm just a human being. I'm mortal. I'm finite. I make plenty of mistakes. Probably every 5 minutes I make another mistake. So it's true. I have to do my ishtadlus, and I have to do that which I think is correct. But it's always kedai. To ask other people, hear what other people have to say, listen to advice from others, that's in general a klal gadol. So this is, to me, one of the very significant klalim that is found in this week's parsha. And the chiddush is that even a katan can give musa to a gadol, even someone who's younger, such as Miriam, giving musa to Aram, to her father, the gadol ador. And he could be mekabel her musa, and he could act on it. Yes, that's a correct statement. Even a Rebbe is not always, doesn't have lahavdil, papal infallibility. He's not El Papa. He's not the Pope. Only the Pope cannot be wrong. But a human being can make mistakes. So in general, this is a lesson for all of us, that one should act. Of course, one should examine matters oneself. But at the end of the day, one should realize that the Rebbeinu Shem is the one who's directing traffic. He controls the GPS and the ways, and that's exactly how we have to recognize and realize and sometimes even acknowledge that we make mistakes, that we make errors, and we have to be willing to listen to others who might have, in many respects, either more seichel than we have, or maybe we have negias, we're no gebedover, all kinds of negias that all of us have. And that would be a very important lesson. Anyway, halavai, we should all of us be zeichen to the nevuah that was also over here. Ki meitzeischa v'eretz mitzvayim, arena neflas.